Dude, settle down.
Oh my God.
It's going to be okay. This isn't a big deal.
It's a big deal. We're starting the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
In that it is the longest endeavor, other than our actual premise for this podcast.
It's going to take 23 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like half a year.
Half a year. A little over.
That's crazy.
No, a little under. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Is there 23 movies? I lost track.
You're the one who's supposed to know this.
By the time this comes out, by the time we get into it, we can include Black Widow if we wanted. You know that?
Is that going to happen?
May? As of right now.
Disney Plus?
It'll be in theaters as of right now.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean? You're not into it? You don't want to go see it in theaters?
No, I mean, it's like that's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, not everybody's going to. Like, we're not getting the vaccine until like June.
Sure. Sure.
So we already are going to miss it. Just kidding. It's going to be like the old days where movies were in theaters for 10 years because it's like we had this many made. This is how many movies made we had ready for theaters.
Yeah.
And then we did all this other stuff with them. And now I don't know. I don't have anything to give you until we're able to safely make them again.
I know. That's crazy, man. This is going to be nuts. But at least we're doing this, and this is fun and cool.
But don't worry, Tom Cruise yelled at everybody, so it should be fine now.
Yeah. Everybody's going to get ship shape.
Shipping it shape.
Up in
that Scientology ship.
Are you looking over your shoulder like Scientology's watching you right
they
now?
They are. We know they are. They listen to this podcast.
Boy, oh boy.
They probably have somebody or a team of their slaves.
I don't think so.
Who just listen to every podcast for mentions.
That would be... I think they're going after big boys. I think they're going after like
we're big boys.
You know? No, the Tonight Show is big boys. They're going after institutions if they make fun of Scientology. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hey, don't do that.
I won't say that.
You know, just for the record, I think we are pretty much opposed to Scientology. We think it's bad because it hurts people.
If there are people doing that,
yeah,
get out of there, dude.
Get out,
dude. You can leave.
You can leave.
Please leave.
You can pull a Leah Remini and say you're the queen of queens. You know what I'm saying? Get out of there.
Yeah. That's...
You're your own king of queens. Mm-hmm. Get out. That's all you need. Hey, everybody.
You're your own king of queens.
Welcome to the 500 Greatest Films Podcast. My name is Hector Navarro. Sitting to my left is the roadie to my Tony Stark.
Okay.
Mr. Keller Knobloch. Say hi, Keller.
Hi.
Get ready to be a lot of best friend black guy to the main hero white guy.
I don't want
to
be...
For a lot of these movies. So many.
Fine.
Oh, boy.
Can I be Jarvis?
You want to be Jarvis to my Tony Stark?
I just wish I liked Rhodey more.
We have a Sir Giles.
Terrence Howard.
You're Rhodey. I didn't say you're Terrence Howard. You're Rhodey.
Okay.
That's different. That means you're Don Cheadle.
Okay.
That means you're effectively Don Cheadle.
Civil War. He makes me angry in Civil War, but we'll get to that.
So before we jump in, let's do a little bit of a recap here. This podcast you're listening to is the 500 Greatest Films Podcast. And Keller, why don't you tell everybody what the premise was before COVID, before March of 2020? What were we doing?
Much like the movie Iron Man, in the year 2008, a list was created.
Mm-hmm.
By Empire Magazine.
Correct.
Of the 500 greatest films ever made as
according to
a bunch of film critics and fans of film and subscribers to Empire Magazine and just industry people. And they all sent in their top 10 list, which was aggregated into this 500 greatest films list.
Yeah.
And we made it about 2 years into it.
Yes. So
two and a quarter years in.
I had this magazine and I've been carrying it around for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, 2018, I was like, Keller, would you do this podcast idea with me, which is let's watch one of these movies once a week with a guest and friend.
And back then I was like, I got nothing to do. And now it's like,
now you're engaged.
Whoa. I have even less to do.
Seriously. Except we can't have people over.
Exactly.
So for about 2+ years, we had a friend over once a week to watch one of these movies with us. And then as soon as the movie was done, we'd come to the kitchen and like record an hour long podcast about that movie. Some of the movies we'd seen, some of them never. It's been really cool.
Some of the movies
we
love, some of the movies we hate it.
It really interesting, really cool. So full disclosure, Iron Man is on this list.
Yes. We've already talked about this before on this podcast.
The only entry of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because you know, Hulk didn't make the cut and it was 2008 in November when this list came out. Also, fun fact, The Dark Knight was number 15.
When did Hulk come out? 2008 as well?
June.
Oh shit.
June of 2008, so like a month later.
Okay.
You know, so it was, and then, you know, they put Robert Downey Jr. in the commercials, big deal, but didn't it was make like, the cut. He's not in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's that last scene before the credits. But we've already done this before, but this is going to be a little bit different because we have committed to, now we want to, during the COVID, during the break, where it's just Keller and I.
We've been through a bunch of franchises.
Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Fast and Furious.
Yes.
The films of Wallace and Gromit.
Yes. Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson directed films. Taika Waititi directed films. A bunch of stuff, but we were like, let's just do the big one. Let's do the big boy.
Yeah.
The highest grossing film franchise of all time and Hector's favorite.
Thing of all time.
Thing of all time. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. So why are we starting with Iron Man?
Because it's the first movie that they made.
That's the first one that they made. And
also it's the way you should watch movies.
It works for me that I think that the MCU is best viewed with a theatrical release order. Okay.
For the most part.
For the most part, except
especially initially. If you're first coming into it.
Yeah.
Theatrical. You'd have to.
But even then, even if it's initially and you want to change it up a little, because there's some stuff we can talk about. We can't really talk about it too much with this first episode because we're just talking about one film. Do you know what I mean? We can't be like, well, where in the timeline does Hulk take place versus Thor versus whatever? We'll get to that.
I don't even know what those movies are.
Yeah, exactly. We erased our memories. Uh-huh.
We're coming into this completely clean slate.
Holy shit, you guys. Iron Man's cool.
Have you heard of Iron Man before?
What is a Marvel comic?
This is the first time.
This is cool.
We broke Hector's brain.
Anyway, you took me to the garage and I was like, what is all this stuff?
I literally erased 70% of Hector's memory.
I know. I like food.
His brain is empty now.
Yeah. I like ice cream, turns out.
He's like totally cool with doing other things.
What's car? What's car?
We did a little bit. We erased a little too much.
Anyway.
But also he learned what a car was through comic books.
I love.
He loves.
I love. Why I laugh. That's a Homer Simpson joke. He also had like brain damage. And in the hospital, he said that. He's like, turns out I had some brain damage. And then his family's laughing. And then he's like, why I laugh. It's really funny. Anyway.
That is funny.
If you do want to, if you're listening to this and you're like, of course, Hector, of course, I've seen these movies over and over and over again.
Of course.
And I like the timeline order, the chronological order. So why aren't you starting with Captain America, the First Avenger?
Well, Hector has an entire reason that he's going to tell us right now. Now,
the main thing is
that movie starts
in 2011.
Yes.
And it ends in 2011 when he wakes up from being frozen and Nick Fury's there, Sam Jackson.
It's a flashback.
I consider that movie a flashback. And I think that outside of the chronological aspect of it, I think that it does help to have the context of a few movies before Cap, and then you get to the Avengers. To me, it kind of mirrors the comic books where Captain America was the last piece of the puzzle before they had the Avengers. Okay? I don't know if you're
familiar.
Especially
since it's like, you know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and then we go back to Cap, and it's like, this is how S.H.I.E.L.D. came to be.
Context. Mm-hmm. Context, you know? And I think that it also mostly works when you are showing these movies to a person for the first time. If you do it in this, like, going off of the
theatrical.
Yes. Or at least the last scene in the film. The scene that takes place latest in the film.
We also have to talk about how these movies were made. They were made to come out in a certain order.
Of course, of course.
And there is a chronological order, sure, if you want to get into the nitty gritty.
And they've only fudged.
Which Hector has done.
Yeah.
That was the other 30% of his brain, actually, was figuring out that timeline.
Totally. So, but for so many reasons, including, yes, it's just great to go back and look at the first one that they made. It's great to start with
Iron
Man.
Even though
we
did it less than a year ago.
I know. Excuse me, I know. Yes, yes, yes. But it's great to start with Iron Man.
But it's still a good time.
Yeah. Do you want to start talking about Iron Man? Is there any other sort of like, why are we doing Iron Man versus another movie and versus, you know?
I have nothing. The only reason we're watching Iron Man first is because it's the first one to come out.
Okay, well, that'll change. That reasoning will change.
That will change, but...
Right now, it's like a Schrodinger's cat. It's both. We're watching timeline order.
But it's also the. It happens to.
Theatrical
it happens
release.
To. It's that Venn diagram.
Exactly. It is.
It fits right in the middle.
Exactly. So.
Few things that otherwise do. Because you're going to make me watch Iron Man 2 next.
Correct.
Rather than The Incredible Hulk.
Correct.
Which I am a little upset about.
But.
Because.
I have some other reasons for it. because, some of the reasons for
because you think the Tony Stark that shows up at the end of The Incredible Hulk has already gone through the events of Iron Man 2?
I think he does. I also think that that's sort of what Jon Favreau said, because I remember the first year that...
Jon Favreau is George Lucas with this shit now, yeah, though. He's he like, is now. Well, what I meant to do yeah, was, well, is, what this yeah. is actually saying.
But I remember even before Iron Man 2 came out in 2010, when Favreau was doing press for the first Iron Man, I think people were already asking him about Hulk, you know, because I feel like Marvel Studios at some point before Iron Man 1 came out, they're like, oh, both of these movies are like we can cross over and we'll eventually do that. And the nerds knew what that meant. But regular movie people were like, okay, like these are
why would
two,
they know the, each other?
Why would Iron Man know Hulk? That doesn't make any sense, you know?
But it actually makes and perfect sense.
They're writing in Variety like, this guy's cuckoo buffs, whereas comic book fans are like, no, it makes perfect sense. But
that's how it works.
At one point, Favreau was asked about...
People in magazines did no research?
Well, here's the thing about...
They didn't know
what
the Avengers was?
Here's the thing about people who work at Variety. They can do as much research as they want, but if they are not as familiar with like the history of... the thing that's being adapted, they're not going to know the nitty-gritty. They're not going to know the, you know.
The Hulk being on the Avengers isn't nitty-gritty.
You're right. They're going to know that stuff, but they're not going to know about... I mean, I have so many examples where folks doing write-ups screw that stuff up. Just minor details that always bug me where I'm like, well, that's not who created Thor or whatever. Like, yeah, like stupid stuff like that where I'm like, oh, Jack Kirby didn't create Spider-Man. I don't know. Whatever weird, if it's it comes down to credits, if it comes down to, you know... I don't know, but there's tons of examples of like, well, these folks are not working in the comic book news industry. They're working in the movie news industry. And that crossover is The Eternals is coming out. Do you know fucking anything about The Eternals? Movie industry people are going to go, no. And they can go do a Wikipedia research and go, okay, The Eternals were created by Jack Kirby and so-and-so and blankety blank, and it came out in this first issue. But then the comic book minutia is like, well, that's because of this context. And this is what these characters do. And this is how they've been used. And really, the movie's going to be more based off of this thing that came out 30 years later. Like, and nobody's spoon-feeding them this stuff, you know? They should be. I think it would be great is if every time one of these movies came out and they had a like a press release, they also basically included a press release for the comic itself to be like, here's a brief snapshot of what the comic book is. Here's what the Eternals are. Here's where we're sort of drawing inspiration from. But then...
But that's not how the movie industry works, I guess. Correct. Because they're trying to pitch against it also.
True. They don't want people to go and look at...
Write it off as just this.
They don't want people to necessarily go and read Edgar Rice Burroughs' John Carter, Princess of Mars from 1912. They want people to be like, hey, be excited about this movie in 2012. Do you know what I mean? You're right. It's tricky. They can't go, hey, go look at Orson Scott Card and Ender's Game. No, just don't worry about that. We're just doing a new movie called Ender's Game.
Exactly.
Because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's not to say that the comic book creators were, but anyway,
they were making a new
lots of reasons.
Fantastic Beasts movie.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Anyway, it's interesting to be a comic book fan who is basically my age and who's grown up with these movies blowing up in the 2000s.
Well, not even growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you were an adult.
Yeah.
You were a full-fledged fan of this shit your whole life before anybody knew about it.
Correct. Or at least before Hollywood gave it serious thought. Mm-hmm. Because as a
Spider-Man was as close as it got.
As a child.
You were still like 14 or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. As a child, Superman and Batman were also movie characters. But Wonder Woman wasn't.
How much?
And the Hulk wasn't. And all these characters were movie characters, but they were pop culture.
But when you were a kid, how much were people talking about Christopher Reeve, Superman?
Not that much. It was all about the Tim Burton, Joel Schumacher
Even
Batmans.
That too?
Yeah.
Kids love those?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't remember.
I was a kid and I had all the Batman Forever toys. And I remember when those movies came out, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, they were big things for kids.
Or did
kids.
You hate them?
I thought they were fine. I thought they were fine. When I was a kid, I liked things about them. And remember, that's all we had. Compromise, man.
True.
I'm sitting there compromising like, okay.
I just didn't know how much of a diehard you were at that point.
Because
when
I had
that
already
comes
been
out,
watching.
How much did you love Batman?
I had already been watching Batman the Animated Series. I'd already been, which as you know
which
now.
Which takes it more seriously than those.
And tells you about a lot about those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I had known about Clayface. I had known about Mr. Freeze. So then when the Arnold Mr. Freeze comes out.
But there's no Clayface in that, right?
No. But when the Arnold Mr. Freeze movie came out and they were like, so the story is going to be he is sad because his wife Nora is frozen. I'm like, that's cool. That's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it. Except that movie was like campy and, you know, dumb. Anyway, the fun thing about this, like you said earlier, Keller, this movie's still a good time. So let's just briefly talk about, or as long as it takes.
I don't know.
Talk about Iron Man, the movie.
It holds up 90%?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you'd say?
85? Yeah, pretty much. And I think that what are some of the major flaws in this movie? Some of the things that keep you from being like, oh, this is a perfect film.
Militarism, imperialism.
Yeah, absolutely. Propaganda.
Propaganda.
Of which it is.
Poorly treated women.
100%. 100%. Well, for that one, I think it's purposeful. And I think that they get it out of the way.
Still, the writing is poor for those women.
Those characters. I think, yes. I think that
there's a way to show that Tony Stark is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Without making all these women look bad.
You kind of pulled to the side and told me that when the opening ish sequence was happening,
like
after
the strip of pole and the jet and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, this is there's swingers one. Again.
Yeah, and you were saying it makes the women in Tony Stark's life look bad, right? The fact that there's a flight attendant, you get hired for Stark Industries.
Is he surrounding himself with these beautiful women?
Sure. But these beautiful women are also, it's like, who's doing the high? But these beautiful women are also like taking a job as a flight attendant on a private jet to be knowing, hey,
potentially harassed.
Stark likes to press this button and then a stripper pole comes up. And then if you feel like dancing, go for it, ladies. It's this weird, like, okay, what's my job?
It's
okay.
Weird. It's bad.
Yeah. Christine Everhart represents the media. She's a reporter for Vanity Fair at the beginning of the film, played by, oh my God. Leslie Bibb, hilarious, Bibb. Super great. Talladega Nights, super funny. Also, very, very beautiful. Also, with Sam Rockwell in real life.
Oh.
Which is why when they bring it, I think that's how he got looped into Iron Man 2.
Oh, shit.
And I think that's also why they bring her back, because they have a little scene, like, as if she's interviewing him, and then Stark comes in, and then, you know, which is great. I think they're still together. I think they're not married, but I think they are together.
Don't hold us to that. We don't know. We don't keep up with the gossip rags.
I'm not about to pull a phone out.
Speaking of gossip rags,
I can't believe our own Jarvis has been waiting in the wings for 17 minutes now.
He's fine.
We got to hand the phone to him. He's got to do this intro. Okay. I feel like I feel unprepared talking about Iron Man. We got to talk about Iron Man. So if you would be so kind, Keller, if you could please hand the phone over
That has been what's wrong. My headspace has been fucked up.
If you could please hand the phone to our live-in butler. We
have
reintroduce
read this
him.
Out of the magazine before.
Correct.
But this will not be coming from the magazine.
Normally, our live-in butler and announcer, Sir Giles, reads the little blurb out of the Empire magazine. But since we've already done that for Iron Man and that's been talked about, I handed him the description from Rotten Tomatoes. Just a little summary of Rotten Tomatoes. And it's got like a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, it does pretty well. So, Sir Giles, if you would be so kind, can you please summarize the movie that we're talking about for today's episode? Take it away, Sir Giles.
Iron Man, 2008. Director, Jonathan Favreau. Powered by Robert Downey Jr.'s vibrant charm, Iron Man turbocharges the superhero genre with a deft intelligence and infectious sense of fun.
Thank you so much, Sir Giles. Normally reads everything from Empire Magazine, which is a British magazine, in a stuffy British voice. But to hear that, I think it was great to hear Jonathan Favreau. I think it was,
Jonathan.
Yeah, it was really great. Thank you, Sir Giles. Keller, would you agree or disagree with that summation?
It's just about true.
Yeah, it's just about true.
Just about true.
It re-energizes, supercharges the superhero genre, which, again, that context of, in 2007, we had Spider-Man 3. We had, like, you know, oh my God, we were a year after X-Men The Last Stand.
It's the best version of an Iron Man intro that probably could
have been made. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's the best possible Iron Man 1 movie ever that they could have made. I think that it's an amazing...
Well, I don't know about that.
All
the issues we talked about, they could shore those up and then, hey man, we're looking at a full 100% in Rotten Tomatoes.
They could, but again... I think it's important to note that they do some of that. They do a little bit of it in Iron Man 2. But by the end of Iron Man 2, they have Iron Man, Tony Stark, sort of profess his, hey, I want to be in a relationship
but
with
that's
you,
just
Pepper
like,
Potts.
That's just retroactively fixing the problems with the first two, though.
What do you mean?
Scripts. The way they did the characters.
Okay.
In the first and second movies.
Yeah.
Iron Man does become a better guy.
In terms
but
of
the
like
way they even go
he
about how
women.
He becomes a better guy, they handle better later on.
They handle better. Okay. Yeah, that's
rather
fair.
Than just like, he's like, oh man, this rich guy is just like stumbling over people to become a better person.
Sure, sure.
And then later on,
do you think that it would be possible to have a character who is supposed to be like the Tony Stark archetype of like he sleeps around. He is a womanizer. It is
possible.
But have it be
the thing
depicted
appropriately. Leslie Bibb is like, how can you do this? How can you do this? How can you do this? This is completely fucked up.
And then sleeps with
him. And then immediately it cuts to, and it's like, why did she do that?
Yeah, it makes him look good and her look bad.
Yes.
Because it makes him look charming and charismatic, which is an important aspect of his character. But it makes her look like you said, when we're watching the movie, well, she just gave up her ideals. Like she doesn't actually, you know, she doesn't actually care.
Yeah.
And you're not wrong. It's not great. And I think she represents I'm saying the those, media.
The way they went about making him seem like this, they could have done
they could have, you better. Know.
It's very 2008 too.
It is. It is. And I'm trying to think of examples of characters who might be similar, but they might be doing that stuff today. Maybe like Lando. Donald Glover, when he played him in like the Solo movie, it's like he was very flirty and everything, but it wasn't like, but then they also were like, hey, he might be fucking this robot and he might love her. And then she turns into the Millennium Falcon computer. And then he's like, he really loves that ship even more. Like, it was just weird. Like, okay, you're trying to tell me that he's like pansexual or, you know, that's cool. That's very progressive that Lando will sleep with anybody. That's cool, baby. Hey, that's great.
Hey,
but that's
also,
you know,
what?
Yeah. What else in terms of like flaws of the, you're talking about the propaganda
and the propaganda
tons.
Like, we are in the middle of the war in Iraq when this movie comes out.
Absolutely.
So,
and the comic book character himself was in the middle of the Cold War when they came out with a guy who is a weapons manufacturer, you know, for the US
Army.
Who turns
to peace.
Who, yeah, exactly.
Is supposed to have turned to peace. And this... So people can say, like, well, this actually is kind of anti-military because he doesn't like it.
It is and it isn't. It is and it isn't. Yeah, it's like he does.
But also it's like, hey, we're also going to work with the entire military to make this movie.
Absolutely. And could you have made this movie without them? I think so. But I also think that it's interesting to see the gradual change for the Iron Man character.
Well, from I wonder how much, like, if they made, like, recruitment stuff out of anything they made for
Iron that's Man. A good question. That's a really good question.
I wonder if that ever came out of this.
Or if, I mean,
that is,
it's tough. It's tricky.
Disgusting.
It is. And it sucks because it's like this character became such a pop culture icon in such a short amount of time. I remember Barack Obama did a press conference and he made a joke and he's like, basically we're building Iron Man, and everybody laughed. And it's like, that, wait, that's cool that he referenced a Marvel Comics character,
but also
it's the president of the United States, the most powerful militaristic country on the planet. Or am I going to weaponize
suit?
You know, it's, but then again, like Tony Stark is supposed to be a good person.
Yes.
It's the same exact thing with Captain America. He's a propaganda character.
But then we get into the are there any good billionaire thing. So.
Right. You know, like Batman. Like any of those characters, it is all sort of wish fulfillment that in the 30s and 40s, Batman was created as a way to be a
billionaire. But in this universe, they're supposed to be good billionaires. That's the separation.
They're supposed to be good billionaire, and it's Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And that's it. The only other rich character...
That's a suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. The only other rich character that this... franchise ever gets to is Iron Fist. Danny Rand is also a billionaire, and he's also supposed to be a good person because he was raised in Asia. He comes home after he's, you know, so he has some other problems, but Luke Cage calls him out on it later at some point. He's like, you're this and this, you're spoiled, you're this, you know, you have all this privilege, blah, blah, blah.
That's all in the comics?
Yeah. For sure. And if it wasn't too much in the comics in the 70s when Iron Fist appeared.
When they brought him back.
It's happening now. Yeah. I'm saying you can read Iron Fist comics that are about that. You can read Iron Man comics today that are about what we're discussing, where it's like, look, man, this is how he's using his money. It's that same conversation with Batman. Like, could this character be depicted as being more
philanthropic,
forward thinking, helping
like
the world
the line
in a different
way?
He
says is like, as soon as there's no more need for weapons, we'll start building baby hospitals,
you know. And he said, are you reporting on our IntelliCrops that we're also using with military funding? It's just interesting what they. And when I say they, I mean like Marvel Studios get away with in their movie and in their script, because this movie, the script had to be approved by the Pentagon.
This movie which also could fucked. Have addressed how the Pentagon's budget is bloated.
Astronomical. It's insane.
It's like, what if
yeah.
instead of military funding going mm-hmm. towards IntelliCrops, mm-hmm. just it science
was,
funding
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was government science yeah. funding. That's a really good point. And then one of the things I said is like, if you...
And again, I do love this movie.
I mean, yeah, because it's this...
And seeing it in theaters for the first time, it's like, fuck.
It was awesome.
Shit's about to start happening.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But in terms of there's also those great essays that were on Slash Film mm-hmm. about the military aspect of these movies who and the propaganda. What?
That one guy who did the entire MCU.
Yeah, he did the entire MCU.
What's and his name?
And I'm forgetting his, I'm blanking on his name. But if you just look it up, if you yeah. look up like Slash Film, MCU, you know, rewatch or whatever. And there's some great essays. That's not him. There's some great essays, and that was the one that made me appreciate the movie Doctor Strange more. Because Doctor Strange is an okay movie. Like, it's good. Like, it's not great, it's good. But rewatching it with this context of like, well, what is it really saying? I think it needs to get more credit. And we'll kind of
run Slash Film?
Yeah, and we'll kind of get to that when we get to it. But anyway, really, really interesting stuff. It seemed for a while the Marvel movies were sort of going away from that, and then we got right back to it with Captain Marvel, because it's another one that was sort of like in part funded by the Pentagon and the military and how it's depicting fighter pilots and Air Force, you know, pilots and all that other stuff. So,
oh, yes, yes, yes.
You found him?
Yeah, Sadant.
Yes, Sadant Aklana.
Yeah.
Really great writer yeah. and has some... And Sadant is somebody who also...
One of the best Twitter follows you'll ever yeah. make.
And Sadant also has a lot of appreciation.
He did the entire MCU. He loves all of it.
Love for these movies. Like mm-hmm. he can, you know...
And the yeah, characters.
Totally, totally. So, but it all boils down to that fantasy. You know, this is not a documentary. This is none of these people are based on real
sure,
people,
but when
really.
You bring in real life fascistic
no, you're
institutions...
Right. You're absolutely right. And
to
Iron
be a
Man,
part of it.
As a character was based on Howard Hughes, was based mm-hmm. on these types of people in
billionaire,
history, these figures.
Inventor figures.
What I'm saying is those stories and those people deserved all of the...
It's just such a 60s idea at the same time.
Yeah, they deserve all the scrutiny they can get. But we just happen to know, because of how movies work and fictional stories work, that we do know in his heart Tony Stark's a good guy. So I think we are forgiving a lot of... You know what the movie is sort of swimming in, because we're like, no, but I know Tony's a good dude. He really wants to help innocent lives, and then we see him go do that, and he fights these,
which is why people. It becomes a problem that they do end up when making the movie.
Yeah,
if you're gonna make a movie,
right,
a kid is gonna go see this movie.
Yeah,
and sure they'll get number one. They don't come into that immediately with mm-hmm. this guy's a good guy, except for just how that's how movies work.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
they also see him.
And I also had the context of I'm a comic book guy coming. Yes. So I already know. I'm like, well, I know Tony Stark's a good guy.
Exactly.
I know Steve Rogers is a good, Steve mm-hmm. Rogers is the goodest guy. I know Peter Parker's a good guy, blah, blah, blah.
But
that's
when
a kid
goes see this,
to
like
it.
Tony yeah. Stark's a good guy and he's mm-hmm. hanging out with the military. So they're also good guys. It's
right.
The good guys hanging right. out with the good guys. That's awesome.
The only thing that is,
because Rhodey is supposed to be a good guy as well.
True, and he is.
Yes.
He, you know, and, mm-hmm. and even though he is part of these
it's
systems,
comic books.
Correct, even though he's a part of these systems, I think
and
the,
even these
the,
comic books do address them, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is
mostly.
Too many
but,
helicarriers.
Look, dude, there's a bunch of comic books, especially the old ones. I could hand you the old Iron Man comics. You thumb through them, and they are political and propaganda as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Tony Stark's a good guy, he's talking about communist China. He's
well,
talking,
he showed
you know,
me like
yeah.
the first issue
Oof.
With the Mandarin
Oof.
On it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
The really interesting moment with Rhodey is in Iron Man 2 when it's Don Cheadle. He comes in for that like... Not a press conference. What is it? Like it's like a committee hearing or whatever
okay.
the hearing. And he has a report on Tony Stark. And then the senator specifically asks him to read one thing. And he's like, you know that without the context. And he says, just read it, please. Like, so Rhodey's this guy who's like, fuck, man. Like, I know I'm stuck
but
in stuff.
But he is still working within this.
But I, you know, I have my superiors and I have my, mm-hmm. my whatever. But what I was going to say was the one.
And it is great later on when. We are going to reference a later movie
sure,
when
sure.
Rhodey's like, fuck you, General Ross. And
oh,
it's like,
totally.
Oh, yeah, I'll arrest them immediately.
Totally, totally. And then he's just happy to see Steve
yeah,
Rogers,
yeah, yeah.
his friend,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, Steve's the same guy. In Winter Soldier, he's like, or in Civil War, I forget which movie he says
it's
it.
Winter Soldier, where
he, goes,
he basically
I believe
realizes
in individuals.
That the military
yeah.
is... The
Absolutely.
System he's been working for this entire
Absolutely.
Time has been
now,
fucked.
Now, is it a problem that movie says, oh, the real problem is because it's secret Hydra Nazi agents? and not the systems itself?
It is a problem, but also it's true at the same time. True. Like, it is Nazis who were allowed to come over here.
Yeah.
Somehow
crazy?
Weaseled their way into shit. Like, it is so,
people,
it's a way to write shit off. Yeah. But
I remember when that movie came out, young people especially were
they
talking
are
about,
white supremacists, which are Nazis.
They were talking about Operation Paperclip, you know?
So it's
just
not
like when,
that.
When Watchmen HBO came out and people didn't know about Tulsa.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all of these white people are online being like, wait, this really happened? What the fuck? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about it. And anyway, what I was going to say earlier was that in terms, and specifically when it comes to Tony Stark, because Rhodey has his own thing and his journey's not over.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see, like, Rhodey's getting his own show. What's that going to be? Armor Wars. You know, Don Cheadle's coming back.
That is,
and that's
going to be...
What could it be about? What should it be about?
I hope it's not super military.
I'm curious.
It's called Armor Wars.
True, but... The premise is that Rhodey is dealing with the fact that Tony Stark's technology has fallen into the wrong hands, whatever that means.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's cool.
I don't know what it could be. And that, and it has its basis in some of the comic books. But Tony Stark's journey is over.
And also, Iron Man went cosmic. War Machine kind of handles shit on the ground.
Could be, yeah. I mean, he went up into space. He did go with him in Endgame. He raised his hand like, I've never been to space. And then they, you know, Rocket's like, okay, who's never been to space? And it's like Rhodey and Steve Rogers and Black Widow,
but
I think.
That's because they had to call in.
For sure,
like,
for sure.
Like, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man until, okay, you get to come to space.
Yeah, exactly.
Rhodey, it's like,
he's
okay,
a friendly, yeah, he's a... He's
Thanos is a big deal.
He's an Earth
guy. You get to come. Because we all know Daredevil and them should have been there too.
Yeah, I think...
As per comics.
I think for the rest of, real briefly, if we can kind of... Because I want to get into talking about the rest of the MCU. That's the fascinating thing about rewatching
how this fits in.
Iron Man.
Because
we
can't...
You know, you can't. It's you can talk about it as its own movie, but I think that it does a little bit of a disservice.
Or we can even talk about the things that you could see them thinking about setting up and then bailing on.
Like what?
Ooh,
like
you
what?
Said, the Ten Rings and the Mandarin,
absolutely.
Potentially.
Absolutely.
Being...
That character, Raza, I think they were... And there's early versions of the script where the villain was the Mandarin.
That makes sense.
And then the Mandarin, quote unquote, got into an armored thing. And eventually they're like, well, let's just make it Ironmonger because that's his own.
That's actually what happens with Ironmonger.
Yeah, that's a character in the comics. Oh, then we'll make it Obadiah Stane. And now we have a story. But I think on its own, Iron Man, I think, can still be considered with maybe competing Black Panther, maybe, as the best solo movie film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Even then, I don't know it, because the beauty about these sequels is they're great, but I don't think the sequels work as a, can you show this to somebody who's never seen part one? Do you know what I'm saying?
Or any other Marvel.
You
could maybe get away with Ragnarok.
Maybe, but
just
I think
because
that also requires some context.
Very little context. Because
it's so zany.
And I think enough of that could carry it, that you're just like, I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah, not even with the Hulk stuff. I think that stuff is really interesting.
I know people who've only seen Ragnarok. And
really?
It's funny. Yeah.
Well, because they're fucking comedy nerds, huh?
That could
be
it, too.
That's why.
And it's like...
So maybe you could show Ragnarok to a comedy nerd, to a person who's done improv in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Who doesn't give a shit about superheroes and be like, well, have you seen this? And they go, Thor 3? And then
you get that every time. Hang on.
It's comedy. It's Taika Waititi, and then they go, oh, okay.
And then they're still like, okay.
Okay, rolling their eyes. The Hulk is in this, and then you go, hang on. Hulk's funny.
Shut the fuck up and watch it. That's what I say to them.
I think Black Panther is also...
But I don't say that because I don't see people.
Yeah. You tell it to them over the Zoom. I think Black Panther is also like an insane achievement. It's this, you know, that you don't need to have seen like Civil War or any of these other...
Oh, definitely
not. You can just show it to somebody... And be like, here you go, look at this amazing movie.
The context.
This is crazy, fun, you know, superhero, spy, tech thing that has something to say, but
you're
it's
right.
still
that is
superhero-y.
Because Spider-Man is completely leaning on Iron Man the entire time.
And also leaning on some context of, hey, it helps if you've seen some Spider-Man movies.
True.
Because if this was a True Blue Spider-Man 1,
they would have given you the intro.
Uncle Ben. The origin, you know, here's Norman Osborn. He's a pretty important character. Here's Otto Octavius. He's a pretty important character. But they skirt some of that to go, here's Adrian Toomes, Michael Keaton. And it's awesome. But, you know, anyway, I think you can make the argument that Iron Man is still the or one of the best films on its own for what it is, for what it does. But even Iron Man by itself, I think every superhero movie works in a context of, well, you're familiar with a
and
superhero,
Black Panther
right?
does build on... Iron Man.
True. It does.
Because those two...
It does.
They're similar movies.
Yeah, in fact, in the sense that there's not a character who has, like, superpowers, but they have, like, tech. They're, like, science. But then...
Or they're both also realizing that they've been dealing in...
In a system that's a little corrupted.
In a system that's a little...
Or, like, they learn secrets of their father.
It's tarnished, yeah.
They learn the real legacy of their father, you know. Mm-hmm. Why did you leave him behind? You were wrong! And Tony Stark kind of learns a little bit of that with Obadiah, who kind of represents his father mm-hmm. and the company in a way. And, you know, he wants to be held accountable, but then his company's doing stuff
or
without his...
Or just the fact that T'Challa has full faith in Wakanda at all times.
Until that movie.
Until he realizes...
Absolutely, you're right.
And it's the same thing. He had full faith in Stark Industries and what his father has built and the fact that he was...
I think that's a very Marvel continuing. Thing. I
yes.
think that's a very Marvel Comics thing. So many of these characters... are from the 60s and they have similar, I mean, Captain America, when they brought him back and thawed him from the ice, he just immediately became disenfranchised with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in comics in the 60s, only 20 years since the end of World War II. Now with this many decades, it's like, yeah.
Of course.
He would be looking at, you know, what the Bush
just
administration
we even have
and, the, you know.
More information. There's about yeah. to be a crazy documentary about the Reagans coming out.
Ooh, really?
On Showtime.
That's very interesting.
That's about to be like, this was a perfect puppet for billionaires.
Interesting. Yeah, so going back to that myth that Tony Stark is a good billionaire, I think is really interesting. Anything else in the movie itself, in the solo first Iron Man movie that you wanted to highlight? Love the score, but you don't like the electric guitar.
I like most of the score.
Okay.
Like the stuff okay. when he's like, let's drive real fast. Oop, mm-hmm. you lost me. Oop, let's get on the train or in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll. Like yeah. he yells rock and roll while rock and roll music is playing. I don't like that. That's on the nose as hell.
But mostly you were like, the theme is good and
yeah,
the
yeah,
music
yeah.
is good. And
that,
the
like the music that's playing when that first shots of the suit up.
Oh, it's awesome.
Awesome.
And the quiet stuff with him and Pepper, the music, mm-hmm. you know, those little like, you know, dun, 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 dun. Great. It's all really great. Effects hold up really well.
They really do. There's only a few things that...
Yeah, like a pretty CG hand and, you know, when Tony loses that glove or whatever. But it's mostly pretty damn great.
Yeah.
Pretty great effects. What else? The cast.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Not bad.
Let's talk about Terrence Howard for a second. Is there any part of you that's like, I'm bummed? Or are you like, no, I like... Because I love Don Cheadle.
I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not mad that Terrence Howard... I'm glad they recast him,
yeah.
given what I know about Terrence Howard.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also, I think, I don't know.
It's a bummer.
Don Cheadle's great.
He is great. He is great. I don't consider it an upgrade, downgrade. I think it's a wonderful side
It's
grade.
An upgrade considering that he hasn't done
yeah, that
despicable
like,
thing.
Hasn't had like assault charges or
yes.
anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Terrence,
his ex-wife.
Terrence Howard, I think, also did a good job in this movie.
Sure.
As Rhodey, and I think mm-hmm. that it would have been great to see him.
And he was great opposite RDJ, which
yeah.
I bet was like a... He held his own, like,
yeah.
against
and
the charisma.
According to some of the rumors, and it's, you know, we are never going to know how it actually went down because...
Unless Tom Cruise yells about it.
Yeah, unless there's, like, you know, footage of people, you know, being cool or being shitty
mm-hmm.
to one another. But even then, that's not every day on set. That's just a little snapshot. But apparently, with some of the rumors, it was like... It was a little contentious and difficult, and it doesn't come across like that in the finished
no,
film.
No, not at all. They seem
yeah.
like real friends.
Everybody. And then Rhodey with like Gwyneth Paltrow, and then, you know, everybody. I think she did great. I think that the line that goes back to what you were saying, Keller, about like how are women depicted in this movie, and is this character, Tony Stark, a guy who just surrounds himself with women that are like, oh, it's fine that you're the way you are.
And that's not Pepper Potts is supposed to be the anti that.
Correct.
And it's like,
yes.
well, he has respect for this woman.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Or at least, I think you're right. And I think also that like when they're dancing at the Disney concert hall and she has her backless dress and then she's like, this is weird. Let's get some air. She's kind of saying like, look.
This is inappropriate.
It's inappropriate because you're my boss and people mm-hmm. saw me and he's going, no, it's okay. We just dance. And I think she's right. But then she also says like, everybody knows how you are with girls, not women, girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
And she's like, take out the trash.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, so she's kind of part of this whatever weird corporate culture of like, you know, swinging.
It's like when we watched
Bachelor
Ted Lasso
guy.
And they were like, you didn't stop my husband
from cheating on me.
Yeah.
You know, because you were just a part of the company.
Guys, watch Ted Lasso.
It's really great.
It's
really great. But
it's probably going to be brought up in every episode of the podcast we ever do again.
But the good thing about Pepper Potts as a character is that we do know, and you also sort of know as a comic book fan going into it, you do know that like their relationship is more than just she's friends. This woman mm-hmm. or friends that, like they do fall in love and the movies eventually have them,
but it's also very 60s, you know? This is inappropriate.
Yeah,
they probably shouldn't.
It is. A ton of these movies are, I think,
they're just updating weird, out-of-date things.
I think I'm giving them more credit because I know what they're working with. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's all of our problem. The superhero fans that are all... like, maybe that's part of the issue is that every time a superhero movie's like, now here's this character who was white, but now he's black. All the racist people come out and they go, hey, but I want it to be like the comic book. Maybe the problem is that we're so drawing from this same time period...
it needs
characters.
To be making it work is what it needs to make to work.
I agree.
Today.
Make it work today. And these most of the MCU movies to me do that. That's why yes. I love them. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, you took some dumbass ideas. Listen, Tony Stark used to get a suit out of a briefcase.
Also, the Vulture is...
stupid.
The way they
but
made
in the
that
movie,
so believable...
awesome.
...was so good.
Tony Stark's suit in a briefcase in Iron Man 2 is awesome.
You buy it. It's like, of
you
course.
You see it, you buy it.
That makes sense. He's got to take it
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's like, oh, yeah. I'm glad that it's tiny little robots that live in his chest. Yeah. I think it's cool, and I think that that's the way it should have been from the beginning. Why didn't you do that to initially?
Because you're joking.
Invest.
But you invest. You're joking, you're like, but that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about next, is I think so much of the MCU, even something like Thor, which is a bonkers idea, space gods from Asgard that come down on a rainbow.
So fucking...
so stupid. I think that these ideas...
like, I was watching the beginning of Wonder Woman with you last night, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's just like, well, Zeus yeah. and Ares. And it's like, look, wait.
You're either into it or you're...
how?
I know.
They
I know.
Created humans? You just
yeah,
said in
that
this
was
movie
weird.
That they that's how humans were created.
That Zeus created
therefore,
them.
God created them. Who that's created
weird.
Kryptonians?
It's weird. Yeah, it's who, weird, like, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird.
And then the thing is if you do too much of that, what you just described, you end
you
up...
you ruin all comic books.
You ruin
books.
All of it. Because then, if they really stuck their guns to that franchise, to the DC Extended Universe, whatever it was, at some point, they would have had to have a Superman movie reveal that Zeus created Kryptonians. Do you know what I'm saying? They would have had to address
unless
it.
Unless there was another god above that who created
wow.
everybody.
It's wild, dude. It's wild. So... what you're describing. Because
that's what I want to know in the DC, and because there's an Odin and mm-hmm. there's Hercules. Mm-hmm. So that means there are the Norse gods, which also have things about how
in
creation
Marvel Comics?
Happened.
Yes.
And then you have the Greek gods,
yeah.
which also have
things. And that ain't it,
so
baby.
How are humans
Native,
created?
Native American gods.
Yes.
Inuit gods.
Yes.
Japanese gods. Aztec gods. Mayan gods.
It's all
it's cool.
Real and true.
They're all there. Mm-hmm. They're all there. And Marvel Comics has gone out of its way to explain
that's
going to
be
that.
Phase 7.
It might be the Eternals, honestly. It might be the Eternals, because the Eternals has some shit to deal with that. The Eternals deals with, like, you remember in Guardians of the
but
Galaxy?
Also, we talked about this. We don't want Apocalypse really built the pyramids.
I see. Yeah, but...
because you can't erase a culture.
Correct. To replace it with a fantasy.
It's not an acknowledgement if you replace
right.
it.
So, the Eternals is this weird little sidestep of that, because the Eternals, if you recall... Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
Benicio Perfect. Del Toro.
Yep.
When he's talking about the five concentrated ingots, and
he
then he has
stuff.
These flashbacks, and there's this big purple guy who like throws a staff down and then wipes out a planet.
Who's that?
That big purple guy is a celestial. They're these huge
like
beings.
Ego.
Yeah, but Ego is, I think, something different. Maybe he's considered a celestial, but I think he's something different. Ego mm-hmm. might be like an elder of the universe. Anyway, the important thing is there's more of these people in these armored,
yeah.
these big beings, right? The Eternals is going to tell us that like a million years ago when people were like evolving,
mm-hmm.
like they were still like Neanderthal or they were still how whatever stage a million years
you know,
ago was,
science,
that Celestials came to Earth and they took some people and experimented on them and created two offshoots. One of them are called the Eternals and the other ones are called the Deviants. The Eternals are kind of like angelic and have powers.
So we're deviants.
The deviants are kind of demonic. No, and then some humanity was left alone.
And then regular humanity?
That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
So the Celestials is kind of saying some of that stuff, but also being like, but then humanity in the middle, they did its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And these two beings, these two groups, we're going to learn about the Eternals and the deviants, and they're kind of doing their own thing. But humanity in the middle, because of the Celestials, it's kind of like Prometheus, because of the Celestials' genetic tampering, the normal humans just became predisposed to at some point.
It's like in the Bible when an angel would suck a human.
That's it.
And then they'd be a giant.
Yeah. It's just like that.
The Bible.
But how do we get to the Eternals? I'm not kidding when I say this. I think it all comes back to we had to see Tony Stark build the suit in a cave and then at his home.
Yes.
The fact that we're seeing that makes it okay to get the techno-organic, you know, the nanotech suits that he gets later.
Sure. I'm not mad about that at all. Especially since that is in a post-Wakanda MCU.
And even Wakanda itself, it's like you buy the technology of the world of the MCU because of Iron Man, because we saw it in its early
stages. And then
it
tells you that Black Panther's technology is significantly and more advanced than Iron Man's. And then you're like,
okay.
At that point, you're so far into it that you're like, fuck, it must be pretty goddamn
and
advanced.
Thor. And Spider-Man has powers. And now there are people that
they're not using
any
Thor magic.
For what?
In technology.
Oh, no, I know. But I'm just saying, how can we buy
trolls
concepts like that is because it's
I still don't buy it. It still makes zero sense.
Just seeing the cat running around. No, I know, but it's such a smart first step.
They've barely
can you imagine
they've still barely explained how Thor works in the MCU.
It's true, but they did enough that they're like science and magic both. It's,
exactly.
You know, where I come from, the one and the same. Done. Okay, whatever. Fine.
Groot's an elective.
Yeah. Well, okay, sure. That's how you speak Groot. Whatever, dude. Sure. Are you fucking joking? Or is that really taught on Asgard? I don't know. Whatever.
Which is the gold of Chris Hemsworth comedy.
Is to know,
is
like,
he stupid
is this
or
for
is
real?
He joking?
Is
or
he stupid
is
or
he
smart?
Being real?
Is he smart and hot or stupid and hot? What is happening? What's the joke? But let's compare it to the DC franchise for a second. Because I love these comics so much. I love Marvel and I love DC. And I've been showing you cartoons and I've been showing you DC comics.
We talked about this earlier today.
Yeah.
We were talking about Wonder Woman.
Because we just rewatched
the context
2017.
Of Wonder Woman being inside the DCEU.
Yeah.
And
it's weird.
It brings it down.
Mm-hmm.
And even Man of Steel. When we got Man of Steel and we were like, okay, we got a new Superman movie. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty cool Superman movie. We got to see Superman with some new effects.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it comes out and it makes the movie worse.
Yeah.
The rest of the MCU makes Iron Man better.
Yeah.
Which
I don't feel a compromise. And I can't, maybe you can help me explain this and verbalize this, because I clearly love and have a knowledge of these comic book universes. When I went to go see Iron Man, I thought, this is Iron Man up on the screen. This is 100%. When I went to go see Spider-Man, directed by Sam Raimi, I was like, this is mostly Spider-Man. I love it. It's great. Mostly.
This is the best that I've had.
Yeah. It's not exactly like the comics I'm reading. It's not exactly like Ultimate Spider-Man or Spider-Man by J. Michael Straczynski, but it's there. It's close. It's
He's
close.
Not funny,
close.
But okay.
I go to see X-Men movies and I'm like, this is close. It's not quite there. There's a lot of, they're embarrassed by the X-Men, so they've got the black leather suits.
Yes, but then
and,
you're
you know,
like, but we got fucking Patrick Stewart.
Oh my God,
as,
and Ian fucking McKellen.
Yeah,
I was like,
so
this
like,
is a dream.
This is bringing so much
even when they had
gravity to this dumb shit that
when
I
they
love
had,
so much.
Oh dear Lord, Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Oh dear Lord.
As the Beast in
Guys,
X-Men 3.
Google Kelsey Grammer falling.
I was like, Kelsey Grammer's perfect cat. I'm not a huge Kelsey Grammer fan. I especially don't like his politics, but the fact that he played the Beast, I was like, this is perfect cast.
Yeah.
Like those little moments, right? But when I went to go see Iron Man, and especially staying for after the credits and seeing Samuel L. fucking Jackson actually cast as Nick Fury, who that version of the character was based on Sam Jackson. Like, I was like, this is real. And he said the Avengers Initiative. I'm like, this is not a compromise. This is real. And like you said earlier, these early movies, especially this phase one and beyond, it feels like they're taking these 60s concepts and really modernizing them as best they could, pretty much. If there's stuff that doesn't work sometimes in these movies, I'm like, yeah, it's because it's baked into the concept
and
from the 60s.
And it's 2008.
Yeah. Yeah,
also,
absolutely.
It's baked into the time. And
so,
also, what we know Jon Favreau as? Elf and bro-y movies.
Foggy Nelson in Daredevil. It's weird. It's weird that he played...
Wait, what?
Remember, he played Foggy with Ben Affleck.
I don't remember. I don't.
It was so weird.
That's so weird.
And he did great in that role.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, yeah. And it, you know, it was him and Affleck.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense
and
even
more.
And
that's how he maybe met some of these Marvel folks. Because I feel like, I don't know if Kevin Feige was a producer on Daredevil.
He had to have been,
but
right.
But Kevin Feige was like an associate producer on like the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. Like he was already working as a Marvel person when their shit was being taken by studios. And he was the guy on set being like, well, you got to have Hugh Jackman's hair look like Wolverine. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Feige knew what was sort of important for the comic book fans. And so he eventually, you know,
if you're going to do the leather suits, you at least got to have dumb hair.
Yeah. Or at least some color accents, you know, so little stuff like that. Anyway, I watch the MCU movies and I don't feel it's a compromise. When I watch the DC films, I feel like
there's nothing you feel is a compromise.
Absolutely. There's a ton that you mean in the MCU? Yeah. But it's minor details
but
and stuff that I don't
has
nothing
detracted
that I think
enough.
I don't think they've gotten a character wrong up to this point.
Okay.
I don't think they've gotten a character wrong. I said earlier as we're watching Iron Man, I'm like, yes, I'm bummed that Hank Pym didn't create Ultron.
They have gotten better at characters.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I'm bummed about that Ultron detail, but I'm like, it makes sense in the context of the, you know, they took one thing from one character and gave it to Tony Stark and he
especially
already had
since
stuff,
they already are like, you're getting Scott Lang first.
Yeah,
you're getting
right, which is even that in and of itself is a bit
of
a
compromise. It's hard to make... Well, you want Hank Pym to have worked with Howard Stark.
Sure,
is the main thing.
That, and I'm fine with it.
They felt that that was more important
than having Hank Pym being one of the founding members of the Avengers with his wife Janet.
Especially since it leads to Vision.
Yeah,
it works pretty
I'm fine
perfectly.
With it. All of the compromises being made for the MCU are about characters and concepts that I'm not
precious
about. Even the Mandarin himself. Ben Kingsley.
And even
love
they've
that.
Done a better job at some things. Like, yeah. I'm glad Thanos isn't trying to impress Death.
There you go. That's a great point. I go to the DC films, and every time I've seen one of those, I feel like they're made by folks who their priority is to make a movie
that
versus
people don't think
is
dumb.
Stupid.
Guys,
yeah.
Superman isn't dumb. I promise.
And neither is Aquaman, and neither is, and they are, and that, or they are, and that's okay. You know, the answer is
but that's
actually,
what I'm saying.
They're
going
yeah.
for making them as.
Is
fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh,
as possible.
Boy. Oh, boy. And it's a real bummer. And when you write yourself into that situation, I think it's more difficult to find earnest moments to let an audience connect to those depictions.
You can't be embarrassed
you know?
Of your source material.
You can't. And I feel it a lot. And there may be folks listening right now being like, I disagree. I connected with those iterations. I think they're the best possible. I love them so much. I love them, love
Hans
them,
Hans Zimmer's
them.
Man of Steel score.
Amazing.
Is amazing.
It's really great. His stuff for BBS is super. The music with Junkie XL or whatever. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Really good stuff. There are things I really appreciate and enjoy about all those movies. Even the worst one, which I think maybe up to this point is Suicide Squad. Maybe.
I think Batman Superman.
You can make an argument for that. Even with those
you
two
know
films.
Why?
Pretty,
I get Will
pretty
Smith
good cast
for most of
Will Smith is great.
Suicide Squad.
Margot Robbie is a great casting choice. The proof is I love Birds of Prey and it's my favorite movie in the franchise. I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet. Mm-hmm. We're about to watch it. We're a day or two away from watching Wonder Woman 1984. I have high hopes, but I also have this feeling of like, okay, I'll give you this example. When they came out with Captain Marvel and they're like, it takes place in 1995. I had no worries because I was like, this universe is already so well established. That it's just going to be fun to go and visit young Sam Jackson or young Phil Coulson.
Because you care about those people.
And because I know the world is already like taken care of. Like everything that comes after is fine. But Wonder Woman, now not having seen 1984, I'm like, I have questions. I'm like, okay.
What has she been doing and 84?
What is she doing from 84 to 2016?
Why
what is,
1984?
You know, what, yeah, well, just so many questions that my comic book brain... You know, and even with the first Wonder Woman, which is a movie I really, really love moments and I really like a lot about it, how does she stop being active as Wonder Woman from 1917 to now? Captain America's excuse is that he's frozen, mm-hmm. you know, and it's built into his character. But I love the idea of taking Wonder Woman and putting her in a previous time period. But I'm like, okay, well, you better do some world building. Does she affect the world? If not, she's kind of a shitty superhero. I'm sorry.
Well, she's already been established as a shitty superhero in Batman versus Superman.
She shows,
like,
you know,
who is this?
She's been hiding.
Obviously, a person
so that's
in
sucky.
1917.
You know, and Superman in those films and Batman himself, these characters get duped by Jesse Eisenberg. They get, you know, they fight. They want to kill each other before they want to like be characters that I may know from comics. And it's a bummer. It's a real bummer. In Iron Man,
jump the gun so much.
We're talking about the flaws of these movies is like, well, it's military propaganda. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. But I think you can show this movie to people who don't know about this character. I think you can show this movie to young people and they will walk away, I think, being like, Tony Stark's a good person. He tries. And that, what are you hearing? What are you listening to?
One of the cats is going nuts.
Why? Sounds like somebody's stuck. Or maybe a cat got poop on her butt. Maybe she's getting washed. I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Are you okay? You seem really uncomfortable.
It's a lot. And I don't know if the listeners are going
to... I don't anybody know if listening is going to be like, hear it.
Is that cat okay?
I don't care about the listeners. I'm worried about you. The cat's
I think
fine.
I hear it because I'm hearing it through the microphone.
I promise you the cat... No, you had your thing off your ear.
Before, and then yeah. I moved it when I thought I heard a cat. Guys, there are cats.
Okay, look at this little watch. But look, now the little Buster's being brought in here, and he's going to freak out, and he's going to run away.
Yeah, as soon as he watch sees this. Me.
Yeah, it's just... What's that?
Looks like he's been kicked out and sprayed with water.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
He was trying to get in. Little Buster.
He's a little Buster.
It's fine. He'll be okay. All right. I was kind of rambling, and I was talking about DC and Marvel and the whole thing.
I like it.
But last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up, rewatching this movie and getting that journey of this guy building himself, building this suit and working on it and trial and error. We haven't had a Marvel movie that's felt like this since. There's no movie that's really gone back to that feeling. I think it's going to be Ironheart, the TV
origin
show.
Story.
Yeah, but specifically feeling. Built it in a box, built in a cave with a box of scraps. That feeling, it's like Tony Stark didn't go through that in Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3. Yeah. Maybe a little in 3, actually, when he...
Had to go back to that garage with the kid.
In Kentucky and stuff. That was pretty cool. I didn't hate that stuff. That was fun to rewatch that, but there's a lot happening in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. So... I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of these with you. I'm looking forward to trying out some of the comic books and stuff they have, the separate tie-in material. I'm going to be watching some of the shows. I'm looking forward to Ironheart. You've read some Ironheart.
I read that one.
How do you feel about Riri Williams
as
a character?
It's super cool. And super I hope cool. that they got the person who wrote that comic book to work
Eve
on
Ewing.
The show.
Eve Ewing would be a great... I mean, I'm sure that Marvel's going to they're going to get black women to work on that show. Like to either direct or write or both, because it's like, you got to. You have to.
But she nailed that character in that book.
Really did. Really did. And super fun. And that feeling of this young person in their garage making an Iron Man suit, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see that. You know?
Because we saw some asshole do it in this movie.
Yeah. who was very wealthy. So I want to see some young kid who like doesn't have that kind of money.
Because we barely even get to see Peter Parker like tinkering and building his stuff.
Right.
It's just kind of like we'll get a montage that shows that he knows how, but it's not like
some of that. Yeah, he was like
they don't go into Peter being
correct.
Like
and you know why?
Super good at engineering and science and stuff.
I think because fortunately for us to be able to shortcut, unfortunately for us, there was 5 other Spider-Man movies, and they had some of that in those.
Like and he's like Andrew he got Garfield. the internship, and he's on like the quiz team, so he is a dork, but they don't like. They don't go into being an aspiring scientist. It's like, I find a really good VCR. There's that stuff.
Yeah,
but.
A little dumpster diver kid. In the second one, he does rebuild a suit with his own ingenuity, but he has the Tony Stark resources in the jet where he's like, check this out. You know, and he builds his own thing.
It's leaning on what you already know.
Right, you know, because it's a little bit of a shortcut. Because maybe audiences won't be down to be like, we have to see this kid use a monkey wrench again. I did that in Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
But it's cool and it feels cool. You read a few comic books. How did it feel to read this Ant-Man prelude that took place?
That was fine.
20 years before, it's got a younger Hank Pym. Howard Stark was in there. Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Just a quick little adventure just to remind yourself like, oh, this Hank Pym guy was
Hank Pym knew Howard Stark. It's back in the day.
Yeah, and he was active as Ant-Man, a superhero, secretly in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Second thing you read the comic book adaptation of the Iron Man movie, just 2 issues.
And that basically just inserts S.H.I.E.L.D. throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the one who picks up the blip that makes them try to shoot him down with the jets.
They're aware of this energy signature. Yes. And when he first busts out of the cave, they're aware of this energy signature because they know that Tony Stark's
That's
missing.
That's how Rhodey shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him know.
They let the Department of Defense know. And then you know, he shows up like, how was the humdrum V? It was just a great line.
The fun V. How was the fun V?
And Tony Stark's like, you bastard.
He's like, you've been fucking saving that this whole time?
3 months.
I could be dead.
And then at the end of this comic book, so those two moments happen. At the end of the comic book, you get to actually see a little bit of that scene. You get to see the scene play out when Fury shows up at Tony Stark's house and he hacked it. Welcome home, sir. And he hacked it. What'd you make of that scene? Tony Stark just blows him off.
Yeah.
Just tells him, like, I don't want an opportunity.
That's already what it...
I don't want an opportunity. Yeah, he kind of does.
It just gives a tiny bit more context.
Fury goes, we need Agent Romanoff.
Yeah.
So you already
know. So you know, Iron Man 2 set up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And when that takes place, it's like, okay, Fury and Coulson and whoever, they're already working.
And they know that they're going to get him.
Yeah. Which
is just going to be more difficult than they thought.
So I'm going to get you some more comic books to read. Mm-hmm. In terms of what's coming next, it's going to be Iron Man 2. Where can people stream it, Keller?
Disney Plus, baby.
And one other place.
What was the other one?
Uh-oh.
You remember.
Check your phone. I do. Check your phone.
Then say it.
I want you to say it.
Why?
Where else can people stream?
Amazon Prime.
As of the time of this recording, which is cool.
Yeah. If you can't do that anymore, I don't know what to tell you.
Or, I don't know, get them on Blu-ray. I think they're cool. They got good special features.
Hector has maybe 3 copies of each.
2, mm-hmm. I think.
This one wasn't in Blu-ray, though.
Except no Phase 3. They never came out with a cool...
Yet.
Actually, they did, and I never got it.
What?
Super limited edition.
Are you a real fan?
They didn't come out with 3D copies in it. It was only 4K.
It's like, why then?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
It's
like,
a little bit like, but also you have 3D versions as well as your other 3D version. Mm-hmm, you have 2 flat Blu-ray copies of each, as well as 2 3D copies
of each. If they came out in 3D,
if they
exist. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for Phase 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Phase 3... It's just
they need
the
to
one.
Make a mega Phase 1, 2, 3 in a big old thing.
It would be like $2,000.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's so stupid that
it would be.
Why is it so much to begin with?
Because I think the box set of all 1, 2, 3 of all the movies.
Well, how
was
much
like
is 20 movies?
500 maybe.
That's like insane. That's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when
it's awesome?
Used to be like, well, if you want a season of DVDs of a TV show,
$80.
You pay $80.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. All right, so Iron Man 2 is next.
Yes.
And there's specific reasons why.
There's not good reasons, but okay.
There's specific ones.
Specific.
Up to you to determine if they're good or bad.
Me?
We'll
I determine.
Okay. We'll get into it. Just sort of give us your final thoughts on the first Iron Man, knowing we're going into part 2. Keller, how are you feeling? What are you looking forward to? What are you not looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Sam Rockwell.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to Mickey Rourke. I think they're both very funny in that movie.
So
that movie is a little bit Gremlins 2 coked out energy. Like, there's like, let's fucking do it, guys. Iron Man 2?
Iron Man.
Hell yeah.
Everybody gets a suit.
Yeah.
And drones. And more drones.
And a briefcase
Jesus.
Suit. And he's going to go to Monaco.
Yeah. He's going to get the car. What? Come on. It's a good
He's
script.
Just allowed to race?
Jeez, this is
real. It makes no sense.
It's pretty cooked out. It would explain it. I don't know if Justin Theroux does cocaine, but Justin Theroux wrote that script.
With Johnny Favs.
The lead of Leftovers.
Yep.
Justin Theroux. Pretty wild.
And the creepy DJ in Zoolander.
1 and 2. I think
and
he came back.
The guy from Wanderlust who's like VCRs and your
Game Boys and your printers.
Guys, watch Wanderlust too. Yeah. It's my favorite movie in the MCU.
So to recap, we're going to tell everybody.
Who should Justin Theroux be in the MCU?
That's a great question.
Because he could play a superhero.
Question. So to recap, we're going to have everybody watch Iron Man 2, but also, if you wanted to dip into some comic books, you can read I Am Iron Man, which is the adaptation of the first Iron Man movie. Keller, you already read it. We did it. There's the Black Panther Prelude, which takes place the very next in the chronology, in the timeline.
But don't read the whole thing.
As well as, I mean, you can, because that one, you're fine.
Okay.
The Black Panther Prelude is just 2 issues.
Okay.
The paperback that I have in the garage comes up with some more Black Panther old school comics.
Okay.
So you're good to go. Then you have Iron Man 2 Public Identity and Iron Man 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. These comic books that bridge the gap between 1 and 2 and sort of events that are happening there. And then we get to Iron Man 2 and then we're golden.
Nice.
We're golden. Just like Iron Man's suit.
I would like to see something about Whiplash and something about Hammer.
Mm, okay. In the old school comics?
Maybe just a little something.
I think I've got both. I think I've got both for you in the garage. We can go.
Just kind of the way that we they ended up changing Mr. Freeze in the old comics. Mm-hmm. If anything mm-hmm. like that happened, I'd be interested.
Okay. I think I can show you some stuff. Mm-hmm. But also...
Or even the way, like, we're going to get to Iron Man 3, the way that they changed the Mandarin.
You and I can move on to some of those modern Iron Man comics, the Marvel Now stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited about that, just to just to get some... So Keller and I go on a little bit of a comic book journey as well. And yeah, and then so we'll see you guys in a week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked it and want to hear more, you can join our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got exclusive bonus stuff on there, and you'll be able to listen to these episodes a week early. So yeah. If you're Jones, and if you're listening to this right now, like normal podcast, and you're like, oh, I want to listen to Iron Man 2 right now, you could. I think it's on the Patreon.
If you guys want to recommend movies that you want to hear us do a commentary over.
As long as they're in the MCU and as long as it's
Iron
Man 2.
No, not commentary.
What? Oh, commentary.
You commentary?
No, I don't. I really don't. That would be
not on Iron Man 2.
But commentaries that we do once a month. Mm-hmm.
Just had Jingle All the Way come out.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that movie's crazy.
That movie's insane.
Sinbad is amazing.
Chris Parnell's
in
that
movie. A tour de force. He is.
Chris Parnell. Boy, oh boy.
He has like Bernard from the Santa Claus energy.
A lot of energies. But yeah, you can go to the Patreon to help us decide what movies we do commentaries on every month. And we've got a couple different tiers. You can check that stuff out. And I think that's pretty much it. We'll see you guys in a week for Iron Man 2. Go read some comic books and go.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. And be good.
Yeah, guys. Do good. Be good. Feel good. Stay home.
That's right. Bye.
Bye.